Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. I want you to know that every time you praise God, you paralyze the devil. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. See, I don't know what plan he had devised against you, but we just broke it up. We just broke it up. Hallelujah. Well, bless his holy name. Well, bless his holy name. Hallelujah. 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 This is the place where you get healed. This is the place where you get the wisdom that you need. This is the place where you get your refreshing right now. Glory to God. If you came here with any kind of depression, it's gone right now. Hallelujah. Somebody say, what you talking about? See, we have come together. We come and we're in the Father's house right now. We're in the presence of the Lord right now. Amen. Now, you can do this on the way to work. You can do this when you're looking over your bills at night. Just begin to rejoice and give God praise and begin to give him thanksgiving and just begin to love him and begin to thank him with the fruit of your mouth. Hallelujah. Begin to wave your hands. Hallelujah. Begin to praise him in the dance. Glory be to God. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. 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 The Holy Ghost can do just in a few minutes what sometimes it takes some folks a whole month to do. Just one moment in the presence of God, hallelujah, begins to take care of situations and circumstances in our lives. Oh, he's so good. He's so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we give you glory tonight. We praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. We thank you for your precious people. We thank you, Lord, that you're removing burdens and destroying yokes. We thank you, Lord, that we can never be the same again. And we give you all of the honor and all of the glory and all of the praise. Now, Father, I thank you that you'll speak through my vocal cords and think through my mind. None of me and all of you. And, oh, Lord, we'll not be the same because of your precious word. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated if you can. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 18. I believe if I said boo, I can get y'all to shout. Amen. Praise God. Now, on Tuesday, I began to talk about the undeniable laws of prosperity and talked about from Genesis chapter 39, that our prosperity is defined by who we know versus by what we have. The Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful and prosperous man. Amen. Now, I want to, you know, I've got a couple hours tomorrow to finish that. I want to share some things with you tonight that we have to have in order to live a successful life on this planet. We've got to know who we are. We've got to know what we possess, and we've got to know the authority that we walk with. Let's begin in Luke chapter 18. And I just want to set you up for a moment for where we're going. Luke 18, verse 1. And let's read verse 1 out loud together. Ready? Read. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, the Amplified says, also Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, not to faint, not to lose heart, not to give up, cave in, and quit. Men ought always to pray and don't give up on praying. Men ought always to pray. Now, in reading that one day, This question came to my mind. What's on the line when people are no longer praying? In other words, God's the most purposeful being around. He has a purpose for everything. What happens when men are not praying the way they should? What's on the line? What's being held up? Kept back. What's the risk involved in people giving up on prayer? He says men ought always to pray and not give up, cave in, turn coward, quit. In other words, don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on prayer and all of a sudden decide, well, it's better to go and find me a psychiatrist. Don't give up on prayer and decide, well, maybe I need to go have my palm read. What's on the line when we're not praying? And why would the scripture say men ought always to pray and not give up and cave in and quit? I want you to think about something now. A lot of things going on in this world. Whole bunch of stuff happening. I just want to ask you a little simple question. With everything that's happening in this world and all the kind of stuff that's going on in this world, how many of you believe, even though a bunch of stuff's going on, how many of you believe that God is in control? Raise your hands. All right, now freeze. Now you didn't freeze. You freeze with your hand up. And hence the problem. Hence the problem is that most of the body of Christ says that God is in control. Let me read you something John Wesley said. He said, it seems God is limited by our prayer life and that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. Huh. And I mean, most people would have, you know, raised their hand just like you did. I remember when Charles Capps came by the church and we did a week's meeting together, and I had this little sign on my desk and it said, God is in control. Brother Charles looked at me, he says, you know, that's not exactly the whole truth. I said, I what's wrong with that? He said, well, I'll tell you if you want to know. If not, you know, you can keep it on your desk. I said, you know, I don't want to hear it. Tell me later. He said, well, all I just said is just not the whole truth. And I couldn't stand it. I said, well, go ahead and just tell me why it ain't the whole truth. We laughed about it a little bit. And I want to take you through something. I want you to see this. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Now, I really want to take my time because I'm going to challenge you with some things. You're going to have to really come out your old box now. And tomorrow we'll finish talking about those undeniable laws of prosperity, but you got to understand this or that won't work. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Let's read verse 26 and 27 out loud together. Ready, read. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. All right, now let's milk verse 26 and 27 for a moment. And God said, let us. Let us. So apparently the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was present this day. Let us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our, he said, image. Or let's make a man and let's make him to resemble us. Or let's make this man and let him have a likeness of us. And I thought it was interesting here. He said, after our image and our likeness, and let him have dominion. So in other words, God, who has dominion, says, let's make a man and give him the dominion like ours. So the likeness we share is in dominion. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Let him have dominion, or let him have complete authority, or let's give him the authority and the right to command like we have here in heaven. Let this man have it on the earth. So he says here, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing. Did you see what he just said there? Over all the earth. Underline that. Over all the earth. Over all the earth. Over all the earth. Over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He says, we're going to give man this dominion, this complete authority. Have complete authority. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So like God was God in heaven, he said, let's make a man, give him this dominion. So in the earth, he will be like us in the earth as we are in heaven. Does everybody see that very clearly? All right, now. Now let's go to Psalms 8, verse 6. Psalms chapter 8, verse 6. Let's start at verse 4. Verse 4 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him, man, a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Now, how many of you know we got a little problem here with this translation? In verse 5, he says that he made man a little lower than the angels. Now, if that were true, then Satan would have legal authority over us because he comes from the angel class, though the angelic class. That word in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word Elohim, that God has made man a little lower than God. A little lower than God. The rank is God, man, then angels, because angels have been sent to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Are you listening to me? So God has made man a little lower than himself. Verse 6. Thou madest him, man, to have what? Dominion. Over what? Over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all under his feet, all the sheep and the oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the path of the sea, O Lord our God, Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So it's pretty clear here that man has been given dominion over all the works of God's hands. Dominion. Everybody shout dominion. Dominion. All right, now let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Verse 19. Oh, I'm going to tell you a story tonight. I'm getting ready to preach the whole Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. Adam did. Now, certainly we said the other day that God was very capable of giving names to these things. But what was he doing? He was training this man who was made in his image and in his likeness and giving him the opportunity to do what God did in the beginning. And God said, 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 and God saw. What did he see? Everything he said. He says, all right, now, man, it's your turn. I now turn all the dominion and the authority. Watch this. I turn the controls over to you. You see, dominion is the power of governing. It's controlling. It's the power to direct, control, to use, to dispense of at pleasure. So he literally says, all right, you're the man. I'm going to give you the lease over this planet. And you got it. I've made it. You now have dominion over all the works of my hands. Now go ahead. You are in control. Now, I know that sounds strange to some people because we've gotten in trouble preaching this stuff in times past. But ladies and gentlemen, it's still the truth. Tonight, you have got to recognize the God part of you and learn how to execute in it. You see, some people have declared that God is running everything in this world and on this earth. He is not. Even ministers say God has everything under control and he's running everything. Well, if that's the truth, he sure got things in a mess. People are killing each other and little children are dying and hungry and women are suffering and there are wars everywhere. If God has everything under control, do you mean to tell me he's responsible for running all the wars that are going on right now? God is not ruling this world. He is not ruling on the earth. Thank God he will one day and the governments will be on his shoulders. But right now, his will is not being carried out on the earth except in the lives of those who surrender to him and pray. All right, now, let's get into this. Why is this so important? For you to recognize that mankind has the dominion and the authority to function and operate on this planet. That it's the easiest thing in the world to do is when something happens, say, oh, well, God is in control because we either don't know how to use the authority that has been granted to us, or we keep dumping on God and neglecting our responsibility. Adam was given this lease over this earth and was given controls over this earth. And Satan has always desired to be like the Most High God. Look at Isaiah chapter 14. I better get going if we're going to go through this whole Bible. I just want to make sure you don't miss nothing. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. And yet he had a reality break. Thou shalt be brought down to hell to the size of the pit. Now notice what his desire was in verse 14. I will be like the Most High God. He desired to be like man was created. We were created like the Most High God, and he desired to be like the Most High God. And so he sees this man with the lease. And you can imagine him scheming this thing out. If I can get him to somehow disobey God and turn this authority over to me, then I can finally be what I've desired to be. I can be like God and have authority over this earth. And so in Genesis chapter 3, he goes to work at it, man. Oh, if I can get this man to disobey God, if I can get him in his emotions, and if I can get him to walk in some negative emotions and move him away from the will of God, I can be what I want to be. So watch what happens now. Everything is cool in the garden. It's all good in the hood. Amen. But that was a good hood. Amen. And now watch this. In Genesis chapter 3, he goes to work. Now, notice how he did this. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now the story should have ended right there. Somebody said, why? A serpent not supposed to talk? That's just like you sitting there talking to your dog like he's Scooby-Doo or something. You're not supposed to talk to him. I mean, that conversation should have been short. But it goes to verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, she talking to a snake. She was the only one that should have had her and her mankind was the only one should have been like God and had the privilege of being able to open their mouth and to speak words. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Now he is speaking contrary to what God said. He is speaking negative or words that go against the words of God. You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you shall eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know, trying to set them up like God holding out on them. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, now that's what she saw. She started looking at it differently. She saw it was good for food and that it was pleasing to the eyes and that the tree to be desired to be made to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her. Notice he wasn't in Alabama. He wasn't playing golf somewhere. He was right there with her, still blown away. So you got to understand what was going on with Adam, man. Adam was naming all these animals and there was not help that was suitable for Adam, and God performed the first operation and gave Adam some anesthesia, put him to sleep. When Adam woke up, he saw this woman floating toward her. I mean, beautiful, Eve. And it blew his mind. And he sat up there and he said, blah, 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 blah. Whoa! Blah, 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 blah. Man! And she shall be called woman. And so the whole time he's just freaking out, right? And can you imagine when she was eating that fruit off the tree, like the commercial, real slow? And Adam like, ooh, get down. Oh, yeah. Ooh. So he blown away. And then she says, Adam, take a bite. He like, oh, yeah, baby, yeah. And then he thought, like, what's that? He said, that was from, she said, that was from the tree that God told her not to.
What? Is you crazy? Do you know what you just did?
All right, now let's pick up from that point. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I'm a little far ahead of myself. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now watch verse 11. And God said, who told thee that thou was naked? See, that's the Genesis question. In other words, who have you been talking to? I didn't tell you you were naked. Who told you you were sick? Who told you were going to be broke all your life? Who you been talking to? Who told you you're going to be defeated all your life? Who told you you couldn't walk on water? Who told you that your prayer was? Who have you been talking to? And that's the same Genesis question today. When you rise up talking about what you cannot do, the same question is being asked, who you been talking to? Who have you been spending time with? Who has been framing the way you think? Are you listening to me? See, they were talking to somebody. Now watch what happened here. Oh, my goodness. At this very point, ladies and gentlemen, high treason has been committed. Adam took the authority and the dominion that God gave to him and turned it over to the enemy of God. And it was a legal transaction. Now, he was in the garden. He had no business being in the garden, but it was a legal transaction. So we're in a fix here, because Satan now has been crowned the God, small g, of the world. And Adam turned it over to him. He's now got the legal rights to have the lease over the planet, and he's got legal authority because Adam gave it to him. Now, I thought, well, God ain't no big deal. You God. Just throw a lightning bolt on Eve and drown Adam and start all over again. No. See, understand, when God releases authority and when he releases his word and he releases the law, he now will submit to the very words that came out of his mouth. And for him to go against what he said and what he promised and what he set up would be an illegal act. And if he did that, Satan could have turned his lights off, because the dust of the ground, God, won't you just spit on the ground, make another man? The dust of the ground no longer belonged to God. Adam turned it over to Satan. Well, why don't you just come down just like you are and just handle things? No, he's already put something else in motion. You have to have an earth suit. You have to be a man in order to have legal authority on the planet. What Adam did infected the dust of the ground all the way up through the universe, all the way up through space, all the way up to the throne of God, but it didn't include the throne of God. So everybody and everything had been infected except God. So he's the only one that's able to get us out of this. You've got an enemy walking around with authority that was given to a man that was turned over to an archangel, who now trying to perpetrate himself as God of the planet, because he took it from the God of the planet. I know that messed with your ears, but that's what God made Adam. So the manifold wisdoms of God have now kicked in. It can't be just a man that's going to fix this thing. It's got to be a man just like the first man. It's got to be a man like Adam. It's got to be a man that God fathered. It's got to be a man with blood type G. The blood type of a child is based and determined by the father. God fathered Adam, so somehow it's got to be a man. It's got to be another Adam like the first Adam to get us out of this situation. It's got to be the first Adam got us in this mess. The next Adam going to have to get us out of it. Are you ready for this ride? So he goes to work. Genesis chapter 3:15. What this got to do with our authority? Well, you're going to see. Genesis 3:15. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, this was the word that starts it all. And it will come to pass. Now, in order for this thing to get like God wanted, he needed somebody that he could trust with his word and they trust what God said. He needed to come into agreement with a man. And he needed to enter into a special type of agreement that this man could understand in order to get his word in the earth and to get it to remain in the earth. It would require finding a man that he could cut covenant with. Because from this point on, once Satan had been crowned God of the earth, the world, then whoever's born in the world is born into sin and shaped into iniquity. We got a lot of work to do. Somehow or another, we got to get a man who's born into sin and shaped into iniquity to be able to be born again. Somehow or another, it's going to require the manifold wisdoms of God to straighten this up. He's the only one that can straighten it up. And he's got to do it legally. You understand this? So we go to Genesis chapter 15, and he locates his man by the name of Abram, who at the time was the worshiper of the moon. And Abram had never met God before. And God introduces himself to Abram. And he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And God began to talk to this man. And he began to make promise to this man. He said, look, I'll give you a seed that'll outnumber the stars. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to be your God. And Abram asked the obvious question. And the question is found here in verse 8. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? In other words, I don't know you. How do I know that I'm going to get what you promised? How do I know that I'm going to have what you said? And something very awesome begins to take place in Genesis chapter 15. I never understood quite why he said it like this, ladies and gentlemen, but watch, he answered the question. And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, divided them in the midst, laid each piece one against another. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. Verse 13. And he said unto him, know of surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards they shall come out with great substance. What was he doing, ladies and gentlemen? He was cutting a covenant with a man. He was cutting, look at him, verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. In other words, he said, you want to know how you're going to be able to trust me when I say something to you? I am willing to now come down and enter into the strongest agreement known to man. I am willing to come down and enter into a blood covenant agreement with you, which simply means that whatever I promise you, I have to do it. And if I break my part of this agreement, then I'll have to die, but I'm not going to die because I ain't breaking my word. So you got to understand something about God. God can't lie.
It's not he can't lie because it'd be wrong to lie. He can't lie because he's not able to lie. In other words, whatever God says is what is. If God says, let there be a three-headed dog outside by the trash can, even though you've never seen a three-headed dog before, if he ever said, it's going to be a three-headed dog because whatever he says, he has enough faith to bring it to pass. So he can't lie. He doesn't have the ability to do that. So he comes down and notice what he does here in verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. That was God. That was God walking in the blood with a man. Please understand something about a covenant. First of all, a covenant is a pledge. It is a vow. It is a promise between two or more parties to carry out the terms agreed upon. And it can only be broken by death. So God comes down and he enters into a blood covenant with a man. He makes terms. He makes agreements. He makes promises of things that he would do. And then Abram would make agreements and enter into agreement with God. And they would come together as covenant partners. And in covenant relationship, there's an exchange of things. You see a name exchange. So Abram is going from Abram to Abraham. You see an exchange of authority. So whatever authority God has, he now in covenant has legal right to exchange it with Abraham. He will now exchange Abraham's weaknesses for his strengths. Glory to God. So wherever Abraham is weak, God's going to make him strong. And wherever God is weak, somebody says, well, God can't be weak. Well, hold on to that now. He's going to need an exchange from Abram down the line in this covenant exchange now. So he's entered into covenant with a man. There's an agreement with a man. And God Almighty walked between those two halves, because in a covenant ceremony, you would go and get a covenant animal, make a covenant cut. You would take the halves and you would lay it opposite of one another. The blood would come in the middle of that, those two halves, creating a walkway or alleyway where you begin to walk in the blood. And every time you cross one another in the middle, you would quote your vows and promises to one another. Well, in Genesis chapter 15 here, when it talks about this fiery torch seeing moving back and forth in between these two halves, that was the presence of God who had come down to strike a covenant agreement with a man. So Abraham is now in covenant with God. And God is now in covenant with a man. And God is never going to break his part of the covenant. And Abraham is not going to break his part of the covenant. But it's a setup, ladies and gentlemen. God's setting this up. Remember Genesis 3:15. It's all headed for that point. All right, now go to Genesis 22. I'm almost ready to start preaching now. Genesis 22. Come on. You understand thus far? All right, now watch this. Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. Now, wait a minute now. You know the story of Abraham, man. It took a while for him to finally get his own son. And he finally got his own son, Isaac. But remember, he's in covenant with God. And this whole time, he's been meditating on the stars. So shall thy seed be. He's been going to the beach, meditating on the sand. So shall thy seed be. And so now he trusts God. And God shows up and he says, all right, covenant partner, I want you to take your only son. And I want you to take him to the mountain that I'll tell you of. Now, this mountainous region, Moriah, is the same mountainous region that Jesus was going to be crucified in. Same place. All right, now watch this. So it's take him to a place where I'll tell you of and sacrifice him there. Now, this is a covenant man. And the only thing he's thinking of is, I'm in covenant with God. He said, I'm going to have seed that outnumber the stars. So he just told me to go take my son up and sacrifice him. Should I be afraid? No, because he cannot lie to me. So I don't know what's getting ready to go down. But I know that everything going to be all right. Because I got a covenant with God. And he cannot lie. So that what's anchoring his soul is his covenant with God. What's keeping doubt out is his covenant with God. I know God can't lie. I got a blood covenant with him. And he just told me to go and sacrifice my son. Now, I don't know what's getting ready to happen here, but I do know this. I know that I'm going to have a seed that outnumbers the stars. I don't know how God going to do it, but I know I'm going to have a seed that outnumbers the stars. And I know that my seed going to have to come out of Isaac. So I don't know how he going to do this thing. But I'm going to go ahead and obey him because I know I got a covenant God that cannot lie. All right, now watch this. Watch this. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went upon unto the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. That's a covenant man talking. He says, let me tell you something. Y'all wait here. Me and the boy finna get up. We're finna go and worship God or obey God. What were they going to do? They were going to go and do what God told them to do. Obey God. They let you know something about worship. Worship is more than singing a slow song. So you can be singing a slow song and disobeying God and then not be worship. He says, we're going up and we're going to worship God. And notice, look at the covenant man talk. And we're coming back. Me and the boy coming back. Me and the boy coming back. I don't know how God going to do this, but me and the boy coming back. I got it in blood that me and the boy coming back. Oh, yeah, baby. Now check it out. Verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God told him of. Hallelujah. And Abraham, verse 10, stretched forth his hands and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here am I. He said, lay not thy hands upon thy lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, that was the name of that place. That was the name of the place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The place where you got saved might be your Jehovah Jireh. Now listen to this, man. God, the father of all creation. Abraham, the father of many nations. Abraham has his only begotten son. Oh boy. Now please listen. In covenant relationship, whatever one covenant partner asks you to do, then the other covenant partner's got to be willing to do the same thing, but take it to the next level. So if God asks Abraham to sacrifice his only begotten son, then God's got to be willing to sacrifice his only son and take it to the next level. All right, so check it out. Abraham has his only son. Isaac, God's got his son, Jesus. God says to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. So now God's got to sacrifice Jesus. God comes to Abraham and says, hold up, little covenant partner. Withdraw the knife. I said, I'm going to provide myself a lamb. I see what you got in the vision, because Abraham had an image, a figure. He saw God raising Isaac up from the dead, even though he had to kill him. He said this, now, even if I got to kill him, then I'm going to get an image of God raising him up from the dead. I don't know how he's going to do this, but me and the lad going back. So God came in and said, hold up, little covenant partner. You hold on. I see the vision you got of me raising your son up from the dead. So I take it from here. I'm going to let him take my son, crucify him dead and buried, and then I'm going to take the image you had of me raising Isaac up from the dead, but I'm going to raise my son Jesus up from the dead. What was he doing? What was he doing? What was he doing? He was working on the blueprints. I got the blueprints together now. And I use a covenant relationship with a man to get the blueprints together. Oh, hallelujah. Same mountainous region, Moriah. It's going to be the same place that God told Abraham to take Isaac, will be the same place where Jesus will be hanging on the cross. The only thing different is the covenant partner is going to let his son be crucified, dead and buried. And on the third day, he'll raise him up from the dead. So Isaac was a type Jesus. God working on something now. Everything's headed to getting back what was stolen in that garden. Everybody follow me now? All right. So, Abraham's another man after this man. And the Bible says that God could give it to Abraham because he could trust Abraham to teach it to his children. Oh, yeah. And Abraham taught it to Isaac, and Isaac taught it to Jacob, and Jacob taught it to his boys, and they taught it to them, and they taught it down, and going down 42 generations, that word was taught, and God kept adding to it, and that word was taught, and it was held together by a blood covenant, and God would prove his word. And that word was in the earth. And then one day, a virgin by the name of Mary was visited by an angel. And the angel said, hey, Mary, you highly favored of God, girl. What you say now? She said, you're going to have a son. His name going to be called Jesus. And he's going to save my people from their sins. And Mary has a very legitimate question. How that's going to happen? Seeing I hadn't had sex with a man. The answer? The Holy Ghost. He going to come over you. He going to overshadow you. He going to paint you up with the anointing. Oh, yeah. He got something to deliver to you, girl. Mary said, now this is when she got pregnant now. Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. Whew! The sperma came on the inside of that girl. Connected with that egg. 9 months of tailoring took place to make this body. Oh, hallelujah. And after that 9 months was up, Emmanuel came in the earth. Somebody says, Emmanuel, yeah, God is now with us. God is now with us. All right, now this is significant because he came through the door. Didn't break no rules. Came through the door. Emmanuel is with us. Now watch this now. See, he was all God, but he's all man. Huh? Somebody said, now how you gonna say that? Well, Creflo Dollar, I'm a husband to Taffy. Creflo Dollar, I'm a father to my kids. Creflo Dollar, I'm a pastor to my church. Same guy, three different functions. God functioning as father. God functioning as son. God functioning as the Holy Ghost, same God, three different functions. All right, now watch this. Watch this. Even the demons couldn't buy this. I mean, every time they looked around, they said, now, wait a minute. Who this man think he is? Go to Luke.
praised God. Oh, Lord. Now, Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 4. Verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" Now watch this. "I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." You know what they were saying? "You can't fool us. We know you, God." And one scripture says, I adjure you by God that you torment me not. In other words, they were saying, "You know the rule. You know you can't come down here and do nothing to us. We know, and you know, that in order to have authority on this planet, you got to be a man. And if you are not a man with a birth certificate, you can't have no authority of us. So you ain't fooling us. What you gonna do?" And Jesus was like, I can see him right now pulling in his robe, pulling out his birth certificate. Bam! Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The next time the devil comes by your house trying to throw his weight around, you just say, "Hold up, devil." And you reach over wherever you keep your birth certificate and you look at him. You say, "Now look here, do you have one of these?" Oh, you don't have one of these. Well, if you don't have one of these, you can't do nothing to me. But I'm a man. I came through the door. I have a birth certificate, which means I have authority over you. Get out of my house in the name of Jesus. You ain't got to be afraid of some devil. You are a man born of a woman. Hallelujah. Legal authority to function and operate on the planet. So Jesus is on the planet with birth certificate. Bam, you understand? And so now he spends some time, you know, after the age of 30, he's now demonstrating to a man. He's given us a course on how we ought to operate with dominion and authority as a man. In other words, he says, "Now watch how I do this. Watch how I live." Okay? The first thing he demonstrates to us is that, notice, you don't see Jesus healing anybody or doing any miracles at age 12, 15, 23. You see nothing at age 28, nothing at age 29. But when he turns 30, the Holy Ghost comes on him in the form of a dove. And the first miracle he does is a miracle of luxury. Isn't that something? It was wine.
Well, they didn't need no wine.
Yeah, but they sure enjoyed the wine that he provided. Ain't about what you need, you understand? Right, now watch this carefully. Now. And so he starts demonstrating what a man is like anointed by God. How a man should walk anointed by God. How a man should live anointed by God. How a man should confront demons anointed by God. How a man should handle those who are sick anointed by God. How a man should feed the poor anointed by God. And then one day, here's the big one. He was walking on the water. And his disciples saw him. And they were filled with fear. For they thought it was a ghost. I believe that the original language says a phantom. And
I can imagine that they didn't go too close to water until they could figure out what it was. In fact, I believe these disciples were black. Somebody said, now, how you gonna say that? Well, if they were white disciples, they would have said, ooh, let us investigate. Let us touch him to see how he feels. Let us see if this is really the Lord. White people do that. It was black people, because black people said, it's a phantom, Nate. And all the other black people didn't even see it. They said, man, what you running for? What you running for? Peter. Jesus said, be not afraid, it is I. And Peter said, prove it. He said, fear not. No, no, you prove it first. Jesus. And Peter said, if it be thou, then bid me to come. Boy, he put Jesus in a situation now. If it be thou, bid me to come. Well, what was Jesus supposed to say? It be not me. There's only one thing he could have said. Huh? Come. All right, now watch this now. Oh, Jesus, watch this. He said, come. And Peter focused in on Jesus. Started walking on the water. A man. Walking on the water. Why not pause that? Now, somebody say, you can't walk on no water. We say, Jesus walked on the water. Yeah, but that was Jesus. He Jesus. He walked on water because that was Jesus. Oh, but wait a minute. Peter walked on the water. I said, Peter walked on the water. Oh, Peter walked on the water. We got a man walking on the water. I didn't say water. Water. All right, watch this. Somebody said, he walking on the water. Now look what happened. Focus in on Jesus. All of a sudden, the devil said, boy, you can't walk on no water. Look at them waves. Look at that wind. Bloop, he fell. Somebody said, see there? He fell. Wait a minute. But Jesus caught him. Now watch this, because now I'm going to demonstrate how we're supposed to do this now. Jesus caught him, and now we see them both walking on the water. You see, what I cannot do by myself, I can do with Jesus. And as long as I have Jesus with me, I can walk on the water with Jesus. And although he fell, Jesus picked him up, and they both walked on the water. And I don't care what it is you got to do in your life. If you do it with Jesus, you'll never fall. You'll never fail. My God. Oh, my goodness. We spent so much time listening to the devil tell us what we can't do. Okay, so he's demonstrating the walk. How we should live this life and how we should operate under this authority. This God-given dominion.
in the midst of the storm.
Peace!
Be still. Isn't that something? Peace in the middle of a storm? Kind of like John chapter 5 at the pool of Bethesda. And the angels would show up to trouble that water. And anybody that had any kind of disease or infirmity, they were told to get in the water when it was troubled. Oh, I don't think you caught that. When you're sick, get in the trouble. Step in the trouble. The healing was found in the troubled water. Not when it was calm. It was found when it was trouble. Peace was found in the storm. You got to quit running away from the trouble, because maybe a pearl can be found right there in the middle of it. Maybe a healing can be found right there in the middle of it. Well, that's what happens. Sometimes we get a divorce, ladies and gentlemen, and you run away from your healing that you could have got standing in that marriage.
And well, you know, you go back to the water. I'm at the water. I'm talking about troubled water. I'm talking about we're born again Christians, and we got to stop running from trouble. Every now and then we got to step right in the middle of it and stand up with our dominion and authority and let that devil know that just because I'm in trouble doesn't mean that I am troubled. I'm looking for my healing right in the middle of troubled water. I'm looking for my peace right in the middle of a storm, because I'm not going to quit.
I have dominion and authority. In other words, the devil ought to hear like this: you don't know who you're messing with. Boy, you don't know who you're messing with. You don't, boy, I will not, in the name Jesus, Jesus,
Father, Son, Holy Ghost, bam.
The sad part about it is sometimes we don't know who he's messing with. And that's got to end tonight. That's got to end tonight. Okay, so he demonstrates this authority. Now is the time to come to close this baby up, to fulfill the very purpose for why he was here. Now, he's going to have to go to the cross. The plan. How can I be in hell? How can I go to hell legally but be there illegally? How do I look like sin without sinning? Because the Bible didn't say he became sin. He said he was made sin. Didn't say you became righteous. Said you were made righteous. In both cases, he or us didn't do anything to be what we ended up being. And so Jesus, who had on a coat of righteousness, and Abraham's seed, man, that had on the coat of sin. Oh, that was an exchange. I know how to do this. I'll take off my coat of righteousness, present it to you, and without you doing nothing to become righteous but receiving me, you are now made the righteousness of God. So let me go ahead and put on your coat of sin. I have never sinned, but I'm going to look like one through this exchange I'm making with my partner. Now, I'm a priest. I'm a sacrifice. This is all legal. And so, he was whipped with a cat of nine tails. Could have called legions of angels to come to his rescue. But he didn't. And he died. He died on that cross, looking like a sinner. They finally got him, Satan said. Satan couldn't believe it. I have won. We got him out here. I'm going to Disneyland. So he called his officers, death, hell, or grave and corruption. And he said, look here, we got this Jesus fella up here. Now, there's rumor that he's supposed to get up. Don't y'all let that happen. And corruption said, well, if death can hold him,
then I can corrupt it. And Graves said, well, ain't gonna be no problem with me. I'm going to keep the rock on. It's a heavy rock. Ain't nobody going to move it. Enjoy yourself, Lou. We'll see you in 3 days. So Lou went on out to Disney World, rode the roller coasters, went to see Shamu Nim. He came back all of a sudden. He came back early Sunday morning. Early Sunday morning. Early Sunday morning. All right, now watch this. So his three generals were sitting standing at the gate of hell looking kind of befuddled, like. And Lucifer, Lou came up and said, what's wrong? And Death said, I didn't know he was so strong. Corruption said, don't blame me for nothing. I told you before you left, if he can hold him, I can corrupt him. Grave said, I don't know what happened to that stone. I looked at one minute, it was there. Next minute, it was gone. I don't know what was going on. I don't know. I think they tried. I think they moved. I don't know what was happening. Can't blame me for nothing. Satan said, oh, my goodness. Oh, no, don't tell me. And then all of a sudden, whoo, Jesus. There was this presence, hola bashata, right in the middle of hell. And at that time, there was a great gulf dividing the upper regions of Sheol and the bottom region where all the pains of hell were suffered. Jesus was in that bottom region where the pains of hell were suffered. And all of a sudden, old David up there in paradise just kind of started moving his legs. David just, oh, Lord have mercy. He said, I got the dancing in my feet. Oh, Jesus. He did a little gumbo pow there. Oh, Jesus. He said, I know that presence. Wait a minute. That's just LL Young. I know. Oh, that's him. I know it's him. I know it's him. And Abraham got sniffing around like, oh, that's my covenant partner. I told y'all we had a covenant, boy, what'd I tell you? Jesus showed up in the middle of that grave, in the middle of that hell, and he took grave, and he took death, and he said, death, oh, where's your sting? He said, grave, where's your victory? He said, corruption, you couldn't touch me. Then he said, Satan, all right, sucker, hand over them keys of authority. He said, how you get here? He said, I look like sin, dinner boy. Then I look like it, innit? But I never sin. I just did to you what you did to Adam. You showed up in that garden illegally. I am in the pit of hell illegally. I have a right to take this dominion and authority. And I'll strip you and make an open shame of you. Now, watch this. Oh, watch this, watch this. I go to Luke. Go to Luke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory be to God. All right. Now, I'm going to put a little twist on this thing here for a minute. Satan still, even to this day, has a right to that lease. It was turned over to him. Oh, what Jesus did was bigger than I think what people understand he did. There are people that are still being born into this world as into sin and shaped into iniquity. But because of Jesus, we can now get born again. So whatever Satan did, Jesus did much more. Everybody shout, much more.
Much more.
Say it again, much more.
Much more.
So no matter what the enemy did or does, Jesus has already done, said, much more.
Much more.
Now watch this. Verse 17, Luke chapter 10. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Through thy name. Now, I thought about this. I said, now the devils were subject to those disciples. And this was before he died and did all the things I just described. But his name gave them authority over anything the devil had. And they came back with joy and said, woo! Even the devil's subject to us through your name. All right, watch this now. Verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you. Now watch carefully. You're going to see power coming up two times in this verse scripture. Behold, I give unto you power. Now that first power is translated authority. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. That second word power is translated ability. So you have been given authority over all the ability of the enemy. Now say this out loud. I have authority and dominion over all of the ability of the enemy. And nothing shall by in any means hurt you. What is the authority that I have been given that's over all of the ability of the devil? Here it is, the name. The name that when I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, do you understand what I'm saying? That when I lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus, he has given us a name above every name. So whatever is named, the name of Jesus is above that name. Cancer is a name. Lack is a name. Jesus is the name above all those names. There is no ability that the enemy has that is greater than this name. So, dominion started with God. God gave it to Adam. Adam turned it over to Satan. Satan encountered Jesus and was stripped and made an open shame of. And then Jesus didn't give us just what Adam had, but he went up one. We got something better than what Adam had, Doc. We got the name that is above every name, so that whatsoever you bind on this earth is what's bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on this earth is what's loosed in heaven. You call it. You speak to storms in the name of Jesus. You speak to terrorist plans in the name of Jesus. You speak to illegal government activities in the name of Jesus. It's when you get down and pray in the name of Jesus that things on this earth have to obey you.
No, God's not in control unless you give him control through that name. God's not in control unless you let him in through that name. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, while you've been blaming God for everything, I'm going to put it back on all of us. What have you done with the name lately?
Well, praise the Lord. Why am I have three hurricanes coming? Ha, 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 ha. And don't do nothing.
Well, God will take care of it. Yeah, he waiting on you.
We got this way back when we started sending God to the hospital. Well, Lord, we send you to the hospital to touch the soul.
No, you go. You go. You go in his name. And you lay hands on the sick. You go in his name and you cast out devils. You go in his name and you lay hands on the blind. You go in his name. See what happened? We stopped going because we God, you go.
No, you have the authority. You have the authority. I was selling some real estate and the agents kept telling me, oh, you ain't going to get what you asking for on this. I said, why? Well, it's a buyer's market. And it's just too much. I said, no, I don't operate by the market and all that other stuff. I already named it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to get it. Well, I'm trying to tell you. I said, no, I'm trying to tell you. I'm going to get it. And they kept going back and forth. And I just was resting in it. Just kept going back and forth. Ladies and gentlemen, I got exactly, I mean, down to the penny of what I named and what I believe God for, down to the penny, in a buyer's market. Everybody else house still up for sale, trying to figure out what's going on. Not mine, because I sold mine in the name.
Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You don't have to be subject to what's going on in this world if you'll start operating in the dominion and the authority that God has given you in the name of Jesus.
You know, sometimes it's just, we just kind of just real subtly just let these things slip. And we find ourselves tolerating things we don't have to tolerate. We find ourselves putting up with things we don't have to put up with. But we need to be reminded, when have you addressed this thing in the name of Jesus? What have you had to do with it? Well, when did you get involved? We got an election coming up. What have you said about it? What have you declared about it? What have you prayed about it? We've been praying every single week for the last 3.5 years as a local church. Remove wicked men and women out of government and replace them with the righteousness of God. For when the righteous are in rule, the people rejoice. It is righteousness that exalts a nation. We have to accept responsibility for what we see going on in our country and not just blame the devil. He got ability. We got authority over his ability in the name. When we gonna start using it?
Well, how you know we're not using it? Just look.
Just the other day, I had our Change Coalition to contact the United States Senate because that dumb thing got in there again about us not being able to preach the word out of the Bible. Slipped in there again. I said, Lord have mercy. The body of Christ got to realize we don't have to be subject to these things. In the name of Jesus, we have dominion. But the head, Jesus, is being limited because of the ignorance of the body. The body has got to get in the word. It's got to train in the word so that the body can flow with the head and we can operate in this dominion together on this earth. There are things God's ready to do. There are things God wants us to see right now. But we have got to begin to walk in this dominion and authority and not be embarrassed because of who we are. I'm a child of God. I believe what I believe. In the name of Jesus, be healed. The other day we had a meeting in Madison Square Garden, and we were having prayer. And when we were coming out of the arena, I was going in the back, and one of the workers took a cigarette in his mouth, said, excuse me, Reverend. My mama dying of cancer. And could you, excuse me, Reverend, don't mean I'm blowing smoke in front of your face, but could you pray for her that she be healed of cancer? The man saw something in that meeting. Something happened to him. We were acting like we were running things. He said, pray for her. I know she'll be all right. I said, man, give me your hands. I said, now I have authority to come against that sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. And when I pray, your mama gonna be healed, boy. He said, Reverend, I believe it. Tears came in his eye. Man don't even know Jesus. Just took a cigarette out of his mouth. But when they see the power of God, and when they see men and women who dare to operate in that authority, they know who to go to. But what are we showing people?
Well, praise the Lord, I'm saved, and you know, you're not. I'm Holy Ghost filled, and you're not. It's like you're saying, I'm hot, and you're not. I asked my little baby one day, this little guy that was on the screen. I said, who's that guy on the screen? She said, he's hot and you're not. I said, excuse me.
Ladies and gentlemen, what are we displaying? How long are we going to blame somebody else for something that has been put in our control? Something that has been put in our authority. When we started our church in New York, we got together on that first service and declared that every plan of any terrorist would be spoiled while we're here. We released the hand of God over that city and against any plot that would go on in that city. Well, who do you think you are? Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am the righteousness of God. I'm the one that's filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak unto mountains and tell them to be thou removed, and they move and obey me. I have his name, and whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. That's who I am. I'm a son of the Most High God. So what good are the principles going to do if you ain't putting no authority behind it? Learning all this stuff but won't walk in authority in it. I'm supposed to be rich. I'm supposed to be healed. My marriage is supposed to work, and I'm supposed to be giggling with joy. I'm supposed to. Don't look at me like something wrong with me. And that's how the media look at it. Oh, something must be wrong with that preacher. He rich. Well, the Bible says the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. What you looking at me like that for? Yeah, I'm rich. One guy said, we heard, one reporter came up and said, we heard, and this was at the time, we heard you have an airplane. I said, you heard wrong. I got three of them. So I wish you get it right. We heard you are rich. You heard that wrong too. I'm filthy rich. Say it right. Oh, he sounds a little arrogant. That's the problem right now. You too scared to stand up for who you are. I'm the righteousness of God Almighty. Wealth and riches are in my house. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I have what I say. I'm supposed to be everything you don't think I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be exceedingly, abundantly, overflowing, rich with health, rich with joy, rich with materials. I'm supposed to be. I went out on my porch. Tornado was in the area. My daughter said, Daddy, what you doing? I said, I'm going to make sure this thing don't hit our neighborhood. She said, you can't do that. I said, yes, I can. She said, Mama, can he do that? She said, won't you go see? Went on my porch. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, this storm's not of you. it shall not destroy anything in my city. And it shall not destroy anything in my neighborhood. And it shall not come near me. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Lauren looked. She said, okay, we're going to see if it's going to work. I said, well, baby, it's already done. She said, we're going to see. So she went and turned the news on. And she sat there for a while, and the newsman came on. He talked about the storm was headed this way. She says, all of a sudden it turned. She looked at Taffy and said, Mama, Daddy made the tornado go away. I'm supposed to. I've been given authority. I'm in control down here. Not no weatherman. Not no hurricane bing bing. No. No, you're the righteousness of God. Get that in your head. Quit looking around, looking at somebody thinking they're going to think something wrong with you. Let them think what they want to think. When you going to start operating like who you are? You are the righteousness of God. You have the name of Jesus. You have the word of God. You have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You can do whatever you need to do. How long are you going to put up with what you're putting up with? Authority. Dominion. When I sow, I reap. When I pray, I get answers to my prayer. When I bind, it's bound. When I loose, it's loosed. What I call, come here. I am the righteousness of God. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm moved by what's in that word. Now you take hold of your authority tonight. You take hold of this dominion tonight. And those things you've neglected to deal with in the name of Jesus, you deal with it. Don't put up with it no more. You deal with it. You ain't got peace in your home. In the name of Jesus, I call peace. And I thank God for the wisdom to show me what to do to make sure I carry it out. In Jesus' name. You hear me? You got it? You gonna do it? All right, stand up. Let's do a little of it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. You ready? All right. Say it out loud in the name of Jesus.
I have been given authority
over all of the ability
of the enemy.
And nothing
will by any means,
hurt me.
Therefore,
in the name of Jesus,
whatever I ask the Father,
in His name,
He will do it.
Therefore,
in the name of Jesus,
I declare
no more lack
in my life.
In the name of Jesus,
I declare
peace
in my household.
In the name of Jesus,
I declare
abundant living.
In the name of Jesus,
I declare
a blessing explosion.
In the name of Jesus,
I declare
answered prayer.
When I pray for the sick,
in the name of Jesus,
they will recover.
I cast out devils
in the name of Jesus.
Whatever I bind on this earth
is what's bound in heaven.
Whatever I loose on this earth
is what's loosed in heaven.
I now
take my place
as the righteousness of God.
And I walk in my authority
And in this name
that is above every name,
from this day forward,
I will not
walk
as a normal man
on this earth.
From this day forward,
I am a man of authority,
invested
with the right
to use the name of Jesus.
And from this day forward,
I change things.
In the name of Jesus,
I call those things that be not
as though they were.
Money cometh to me.
Wealth cometh to me.
Wisdom cometh to me.
I am fully equipped
for every good work
in Jesus' name.
Somebody need to shout about it.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're not walking out the same man that walked in.
Go home and tell Mama Nim and Pooka Nim, pull out the party hats, put the candles on the cake. It's victory time in the body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
I said it's victory time in the body of Christ.
Now you walk in this authority. And don't let this slip again, praise God. This is our time. This is our hour. This is our day. This is our time, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the devil's time. I don't care how it looks. It's our time. Now let's move on in that thing. Let's move into it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.